This is The State of Things. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson. A bipartisan group of U.S. senators has unveiled an immigration overhaul proposal in Washington. The bill would create a 13-year pathway to citizenship for immigrants living here illegally. Undocumented youth brought here as children, known as Dreamers, could become citizens after only 5 years. The legislation has a long way to go before it becomes law, if it becomes law at all. And in the meantime, millions of Dreamers across the country live in limbo. Increasingly, undocumented young people are deciding that living in the shadows is counterproductive. Artist Annabelle Manning recently teamed up with members of the Chapel Hill Carborough Immigrant Youth Forum on an art project, one that would allow Dreamers to express themselves to the world and to explore their own conflicted selves. Their work is on view through next week at the Frederick Jameson Gallery at Duke University, where Annabelle is graduating from the MFA program in Experimental and Documentary Art. The exhibition is called Out of the Shadows, Undocumented and Unafraid. Annabelle joins me in the studio now, along with two of the artists, Marco Cervantes, is 19, a graduate of Chapel Hill High, and Jose Torres Don is a member of the advocacy group, the North Carolina Dream Team, and a mentor with the Immigrant Youth Forum. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you here. So, Annabelle, tell us a bit about your work and how you came to this project.
Okay. I've been working with undocumented Latino communities for many, many years, and I've been working in schools and community centers and a lot of different groups. And last summer, I saw the Dreamers getting a lot of media attention, and I was trying to think of a new project to work on for my thesis project, actually. And given they were getting so much media attention, I thought this would be a perfect match. So I contacted them, and one thing led to another. We ended up, having several meetings at the Arts Annex at Duke and deciding on what kind of art project that we could do. They were very enthusiastic to create art together so that it could become a platform for them to express their invisible predicament. And so we came up with a series of different projects. One was to create mono prints based on their portraits of themselves, and that seemed to be a very eye-opening experience for all of them, because they were, they learned a medium and they of monoprinting. We did the monoprints, and they were able to sort of look at themselves and reinterpret themselves through paint. And I think most of them really enjoyed that project. Also, as part of the projects evolved out of wherever we were. And for one period of time, we were surrounded by mirrors. And so the group started to look in the mirrors and look at themselves and sort of analyze their situation. And this one thing led to another. And so I created these photographs where one side is sort of a normal, they would look in the mirror. They were created by looking into mirrors, and one side of the mirror is a normal portrait of themselves, and that's how they saw themselves, both themselves and in the Latino community. And then what I created around those photographs was sort of a Prussian blue infrared invisible negative, which then expressed the way that the rest of the world saw them. And so then this sort of dichotomy between visible and invisible developed and became the theme of the show.
And clearly not just how others may see them, but a divided sense perhaps of how one sees oneself. I mean, Marco, I'd like you to describe for us your piece that's in this exhibition at Duke this week. Describe it for me.
All right. So with the mirrors, I kind of took a look at myself, and I was wondering how other people would look at me and how they would see me based on the stereotypes that they might have heard about the Latino community in the United States. And so I kind of wanted to drop all those stereotypes and kind of wanted to express myself, and I wanted everybody else to see how I wanted them to. And so with the painting, I kind of put half of my face in a shadow and the other half like going towards the light. And so with that, I kind of wanted to show how being undocumented, you are kind of like in darkness and you aren't really exposed to like a lot of the opportunities and a lot of the light that is shed on you with not having that predicament of being undocumented. And I also added this part to my mouth where it was stitched over, kind of telling everybody how sometimes we don't have a voice, we don't have a say in a lot of the politics and a lot of the decisions that are made in the United States because of our status. And I had the stitches kind of being removed in the painting, trying to show how we do have a voice, even though we don't have a social security number. Our voice can never be taken away from us, and that is what some of what I did with my painting.
And Jose, I want to ask you about your piece that was in the exhibition as well. Can you describe that for us? And by the way, I will say that at our website at WUNC.org, there's a link to Animal's page where you can see an image of Marco's painting that he was just describing. But Jose, go ahead.
So the painting that I have is a drawing of sort of myself and the way that I see myself, and in that is kind of like a surveillance sort of eye camera, and surrounded by this sort of fire around it. And I think it's just very telling of how I've been feeling in this journey, if you say, of being undocumented and exploring ways of somehow releasing some sort of a collective scream. And I think that that in particular spoke to me about how so much of we always feel like we're being looked at, we're always watched, being watched, and a lot of the times, you know, it's both by the anti-immigrant forces, but also by folks who want to present this ideal image of what an immigrant should be and what we ought to be. So, you know, as dreamers, right, and as people present us, and in this immigration reform that you brought up, pitching to the American public about the best and the brightest, the undocumented youth who are going to college and everything like that. At times, you know, that at best could be a talking point, our realities, our real experiences are a lot more complex than that. And I think that this project has allowed me to explore that a bit more and to not be silent about that. I think we're constantly being watched and silenced in a way, even by those who are on our side. But, you know, we have to come to an understanding that our experiences are very complex, and we can't fit all of that in one single talking point, and we won't.
Well, and it's interesting, simultaneously invisible and also constantly watched, which is, you know, this fascinating dichotomy. Annabelle, you know, I know that this theme of invisibility is one that that runs through this project, but also through a lot of your work. If you talk about that a little bit and what draws you to that.
I've worked in jails as well, and what was there, the Latina inmates are locked up, and so there's that sort of whole issue of how do you make them visible, right? How do you give them some sort of visibility in their situation? And so in that sense, you know, we make all these artworks within the prison, and then we just have a small exhibition there, and then I've brought it to the Beckler, and then it's been open to the public. But in that case, you know, I've had to approach it from a different perspective because their faces can't be shown, and so their visibility and all their pictures are about their invisibility. And so, like, the photographs are where their backs are to us, for example. And then, you know, I've just had other experiences. What was really interesting with this group is that I was able to work with them to come out and work through the art processes to come out and to see how art could contribute to their coming out, what kinds of issues they were dealing with. And they all emerged through this process. And that was what was just fascinating, because it was like, you know, for a change, we were all engaged in making them visible, as opposed to having that sort of problem of how much can I make them visible. They wanted to become visible in spite of any risk. And that was just a very exciting moment to be in with them.
And Jose, I mean, you're a member of the North Carolina Dream Team, which is an advocacy organization for North Carolina dreamers, young people, undocumented young people who were brought to the U.S. as children. And this the use of this particular phrase, coming out, right? It's clearly a very deliberate choice. Why that phrase for this?
Well, I think we realized that there was power in that, and that we could use our stories and our voices as a political tool to change the debate, to humanize the issue. And that was very important for us, because whether we speak up or not, these stories are going to continue to be told. And so we wanted to be more intentional about us being the ones who told our stories. Otherwise, somebody else will tell it for you on their own terms. And despite the risk, and we know that there is a risk in publicly saying you're undocumented, what we're more concerned about is the empowerment that comes with that. The fact that all of our lives we've been told to stay silent, that all of our lives we've been told that there is this system that we have to fear, and that seemingly we have no tools to fight against it, right? And so coming out is a bold choice, and it's a journey, and it's a process, but we see it as necessary for our own sort of self-liberation, healing, and with that, making a big political statement that while we don't vote, we are and we can be effective at inserting our voice into this process and changing that debate to be more so on our terms. You know, every day that I walk out on the street, I'm negotiating identity between what people look at me, the assumptions that they make, and what I know about myself. And a lot of these things come into play. Again, you know, we look into the policy end of things, and I've come in a long way from thinking about legislation as something that is going to make my life better, and advocating for it and coming up with creative talking points to talk about it, to being more in tune with my experience and not letting any piece of legislation, even something like the Dream Act, define me. So more often than not, we reject this term as being called the Dreamers, because that's just not responsive to what most undocumented youth are. Most undocumented youth, you know, it's hard in a place like North Carolina where higher education is really out of reach because you have to pay out-of-state tuition. You're not going to have your best and the brightest on a college campus. You're not have your best and the brightest working some of these jobs that other folks don't want to take.
Well, and you said, you know, being told and feeling that your whole lives that you need to stay in the shadows, and yet this coming out is not just coming out to everyone else, but in a certain way to oneself. I mean, Marco, I know that for you, as for many undocumented youth, that you didn't know until relatively recently that you were undocumented. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't until my junior year of high school where I was really confronted. It came to the reality that I was undocumented. Everyone was registering to take their SATs, and there was a box for the Social Security number, and I didn't have that number with me. I didn't know what it was. And so I would ask my counselors and my teachers, what is a Social Security number? And they told me that it was a number given to you when you are born into the United States or you become a citizen. And keeping that in thought, I went home and I asked my parents why I didn't have a Social Security number. And that's when they told me that I was brought to the United States when I was only 2 years old, and that things weren't going to be the same for me. And so after that, I kind of gave up hope in school a little bit, and I kind of went a different path. But then I found this group where I could gather myself up and try to strive to overcome the obstacles that were going to be in my way.
Well, I know that you know, you now count yourself as a member of the undocumented and unafraid movement, and that one of the main goals for the NC Dream Team, for instance, is to get in-state tuition for undocumented youth, because that's the main thing that's keeping you from what you would like to do next, which is go to college, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And so, yeah, like when graduating high school, I had these hopes that I was going to be able to go to college, and I got one scholarship for $4,000, but that wasn't enough for me to pay the tuition rates, because they're set way higher for undocumented students. And so I was trying to save up money working full-time at a restaurant, and that was not going to be attainable until a couple of years afterwards. And so I kind of started to try to look for a different path to change the politics behind the tuition inequality. And so with the IYF group, we started making we started gathering with the with other groups statewide that were trying to do the same thing as us, trying to get tuition equity. And so we proposed a bill in the legislature last week. And so now with this big movement towards an immigration reform, we are hoping for something to change so that we can achieve our dreams.
Just very briefly, Marco, let me ask you, what engaging in this art project did you feel did for you personally?
It kind of relieved a little bit of pressure off my shoulders, actually. A lot of the times we are mostly talking about our situation. And with this art project, I felt like I didn't have to really tell anybody about my situation. I could rather show them what I go through with the painting. And so I'd like to thank Annabelle for coming to us with this art project, and it's just a different means of telling our story.
We just got a moment left, but Jose, I want to end with you and ask you, you know, I know there's a lot of work with, you know, Marco here is 19, but there's work with undocumented youth who are still in high school and are younger. And, you know, do you hear from them that they're worried about the consequences of coming out? Do you worry about the consequences of helping them to come out, if you will?
You know, there's always that concern, and it's always a decision that we as individuals have to make. When we get to the point where we are ready to come out as undocumented and afraid, it's because we're tired. And when undocumented high school students are ready for that, it's because in North Carolina, they're hitting that graduation year and there's nowhere to go. And so while I do worry sometimes, and everybody worries, we have to realize and we come to the understanding that the same outcome of being the risk of deportation happens while even if we're driving down the street without a driver's license or if we publicly come out and say it on our own terms.
Annabelle Manning's collaborative art project, Out of the Shadows, is at Frederick Jameson Gallery at Duke University through next week. Marco Cervantes is one of her collaborators, as well as Jose Torres Don. They're all with the Immigrant Youth Forum of Chapel Hill Carrboro. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
More information about all those things at WUNC.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Isaac Davey Aronson, Frank Stacio, is back tomorrow.